chapter number 4. There was a prophet of God. His name was Elijah. And Elijah had another man who was following him around everywhere. One day, Elijah asked Elisha, "What shall I do for thee?" And Elisha said, "Give me a double portion of the blessing that is upon thy life." And Elijah said, "You've asked a hard thing, but if you're with me when I'm taken up to heaven, then it shall be so. If you see it, you shall receive the double portion." So I would imagine that from that point on, everywhere Elijah went, Elisha was right there with him to make sure that he was as close to him as he possibly could to see Elijah when he was taken up into heaven. Well, when Elijah was taken up into heaven, Elisha did receive a double portion of God's blessing. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there are twice as many miracles recorded that Elisha performed as those that Elijah performed. And the first of the miracles is the one we're looking at tonight. 2 Kings chapter 4 is the first miracle Elisha performed. 2 Kings chapter 4, interesting story. I'll read it, part of the story, as we're going. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen." Well, it seems that this man died, and when he died, he had acquired a debt that he owed to another man. And so that man came to this man's wife to collect the debt. She had no money. And so the man said, "Well, the only way we can satisfy the situation then is if I take your two sons, and they will become my slaves." Now, we're not told how long this arrangement would be, whether it would be till the debt was satisfied or whether it would be a lifelong arrangement. We're not told. But regardless, she did not want to lose her sons for any length of time. So she came to the man of God, and she told the man of God the problem. And notice verse 2. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? How in the world can I help you in this problem? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now notice the question asked, "Tell me, what do you have?" Perhaps he meant, "What do you have of value?" And she said, "Look, I don't have anything of value. The only thing that I have left is a pot of oil." I believe this. I believe that time has passed from the time her husband died to the time the creditors come to take her son. I believe that perhaps she had been living off whatever things they had of value until it came to the place that they had spent everything they had. She had sold everything they had. She had lived off everything they had until she came to the place where she had absolutely nothing left but this pot of oil. So she came to the man of God in a destitute situation. Now, the next verse does not say this, but it is as if the man of God said, "Well, if all you have is a pot of oil, then that's what we'll use. If all you have is a pot of oil, that's what we'll use." Here's the first point. God uses what you have. Say that with me. God uses what you have. Say it again. God uses what you have. Say it again. God uses what you have. How about helping me out? Say it again. Say it again. God uses what you have. God uses what you have. God uses what you have. No. That's the first thing we see in this passage. God uses what you have. Notice what he said. He said in verse 3, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." Now notice what in actuality he said. Look, if all you got the pot of oil, then hey, let's go to work and let's use that pot of oil. God uses what you have. But then note what the man of God is asking her to do. All right, I tell you what. If you've got a pot of oil, go gather buckets, jars. Don't borrow a few. Get as many as you possibly can. Bring them back to your house. And you've got them all laid out everywhere. All the buckets, all the jars. And then take the little pot of oil that you have and start filling all of them up. What? Are you an idiot? Everybody knows you can't take a little pot of oil and fill many other pots and buckets and jars. Look, man, I came to you because I need help. Help me. Don't tell me something stupid to do. Let me ask you something. What do you think her response was? Do you think when the man of God said, "Take the little pot and fill up all the others," do you think she said, "Why? I wish I'd thought of that. That'll work." Do you think she believed it would work? Imagine I were to have a Pepsi in my hand. And I say, "All right, everybody, go get you a glass. Go get you a gallon jug. Go get you a number 3 wash tub. And every one of you come back to the room with your jar, your bucket, and I will take the one Pepsi I have in my hand and I will fill up every jar, every bucket that you bring." Would you say, "That'll work. That'll work. I'm going to go get a lot of buckets and jars." Boom, and you're gone. Would you believe it would work? Let me ask you, do you think she believed it would work? My answer is, I don't know. I'd have a hard time believing it. I think you would too. But I know this. The Bible says she went from him and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. She did it. She believed it enough to try it. That's the second point. Number one, God uses what you have, but you've got to trust God enough to at least try. It is according to your faith. Say those words. It is according to your faith. Say it again. It is according to your faith. Say it again. It is according to your faith. Number one, God uses what you have. Say it. God uses what you have. Number two, it is according to your faith. Say it. It is according to your faith. Number one, God uses what you have. Number two, it is according to your faith. You've got to at least try. So she went out and she gathered all the buckets, she gathered all the jars, she came back to her house, she and her sons, they closed the door, and notice verse 6, "And it came to pass when the vessels were full." How many vessels were filled? Wait a minute. "It came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, 'Bring me yet a vessel.' And he said to her, 'There's not a vessel more.'" Every vessel she had collected was filled. How many? Well, if she had the faith to get 10, 10 were filled. If she had the faith to get 20, 20 were filled. If she had the faith to get 50, 50 of them were filled. However many she had the faith to gather, all of them were filled. It is according to your faith. Some people trust God for big things, and they come to pass. Some people trust God for small things. They come to pass, but it is according to your faith. The oil stayed. She came and told the man of God in verse 7. He said, "Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." In this story, we find two principles. And yet these two principles can be seen throughout the Bible. Follow me carefully. Moses one day was on the backside of the desert. And as he was walking, the Bible said that he saw a strange sight. There was a bush. And the bush was burning, but yet it was not consumed by the fire. Moses got closer to that bush that was burning when all of a sudden the bush started speaking to him. It was the voice of God. And God says, "Moses, put thy shoes from off thy feet, for thou art standing on holy ground." And Moses reached down and took the shoes from his feet, and he knelt before the Lord, and God began to converse with him. And God says, "Moses, I've chosen you. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to turn my people loose." And Moses answered, "Lord, I cannot do that. Moses had a speech impediment. And God says, "No, Moses, I've chosen you. I want you to go to Pharaoh and turn my people loose. But Lord, I'm inadequate of speech. I can't talk very well. Moses, I've chosen you. I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to turn my people loose. But Lord, they will not hear. Listen to me." Three times, Moses denied God of his request. And finally, God said, "Moses, what's that in your hand?" Tell me what he had in his hand. There was a shepherd's staff. He had been tending the sheep. "Moses, throw it down." And Moses threw it down, and what happened? What did you do that? Let me ask you something. If you were kneeling and all of a sudden there was a snake crawling at your knees, would you still be kneeling? I don't think Moses was. But then God said, "Moses, pick it up." Do what? Pick it up, Moses. And if you read carefully, the Bible says, "Moses, pick it up by the tail." That's smart, because the other end bites. No, if you're going to pick up a snake, you do not pick it up by the tail. You got that right. I don't pick it up at all. But if you're going to pick up a snake, picking it up by the tail is the wrong place. I remember one day we killed a sidewinder out here. Joe Keepler reached down after he had chopped the head off of it, picked it up, and the body came around. Popped him right there on the wrist, and there was this round blood spot. Had the snake had a head, he would have been bitten instantly because he had picked it up by the tail. If you pick up a snake, you pick it up right behind his head, so he cannot bite you. "Moses?" Yes, Lord. "Pick it up." Lord. You know, all my life, I've been having trouble talking, but I think I'm having trouble hearing now. What would you say? "Pick it up, Moses." And Moses reached down and picked up the snake by the tail. And what happened to it? Listen carefully. It turned into a rod. From that point on, throughout the rest of the Bible, it is referred to as the rod of the Lord. That day, God equipped Moses with something that Moses would only have to use, that which God had equipped him with. It was the rod that caused the plagues to come upon Egypt. It was the rod, when it touched the water, that caused the water to be parted and dry land to appear. It was the rod, though in disobedience, when it struck a rock, caused water to come forth out of that rock. Little did know that God was placing something in his hand that day, that if he would only use, miracles would come from it. Moses, yes, Lord, what's that in your hand? It's the rod you supplied me with. Moses, that's all you need. If you'll trust me and exercise faith, many miracles will be performed with that rod. Little lady, what do you have in your house? All I have is a pot of oil. Little lady, that's all you need. You just trust me, and I'll perform the miraculous. David was a teenager. Goliath had threatened God's people. David came to the scene. David volunteered to fight Goliath, a man many times his size. This man was fully armored. This man had a sword. This man had an armor bearer who went before him bearing a shield. And David goes into battle with a slingshot. David? Yes, Lord? What is that in your hand? It's a slingshot. You're going to fight him with a slingshot? It's what I know how to use best. All right, David? If that's what you have in your hand, that's what I will use. God uses what you have. But David, you trust me. You go into battle, and I will deliver him into your hand. You just trust me. Moses, what's that in your hand? It's the rod you supplied me with, Lord. Moses, trust me. That rod's all you need. Little lady, what do you have in your house? All I have is a pot of oil. Little lady, that's all you need. That pot of oil, and you're trusting me, and I can meet your need. Samson. Samson, the strongest man, I believe, who ever lived, because his power came in a supernatural way from God. And the Bible says that on one occasion, Samson killed of the Philistines 1,000 men with a jawbone. That's amazing to me. He found this bone in this dead animal. He sharpened it up. He maybe had a knife 6 to 8 inches long. And he killed, in close combat, 1,000 men before any of those men could take him out. That's amazing. Samson? Yes, Lord. This guy kind of sounds a little bit off, doesn't he? I think you have to be off if you're going to fight with a bone. What's that in your hand? It's a bow. You're going to fight with a bow? It's all I got right now. But wait a minute. Does Samson need anything more than a bow when God is on his side? God would simply say, Samson, if that's all you have, that's all you need, for remember, the strength you have came from me, and without me you could do nothing anyway. Go into battle with that bone and trust in my ability, and I'll give you great victory this day. His name? Shamgar. He's only mentioned 2 times in the Bible, and yet the Bible says on one occasion in Judges chapter 3 and verse 31 that Shamgar slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. An ox goad is a long stick with a sharp point. Shamgar went into battle with a stick and killed 600 men. Shamgar? Yes, Lord? What is that in your hand? It's a long stick with a sharp point. It hurts people when you poke them with it.
You're going into battle with a stick.
It's all I got.
A stick?
It's all I have. All right, Samson. I will use what you have in your hand. You go into battle with a stick, and I will cause you to be victorious this day. God simply uses what you have. You just have to trust Him. Samson, what's that in your hand? It's a jawbone, Lord. I had a little kid come to me one time and said, Brother Steve, I don't understand. How did Samson kill those 1,000 men with his jawbone? I said, no, you must have misunderstood. It wasn't his jawbone. It was a jawbone he found on the ground.
Oh.
I guess he was thinking Samson talked them to death or something.
David, what's that in your hand? It's a slingshot. Moses, what's that in your hand? The rod you supplied me with. Little lady, what do you have in your house?
All I have is a pot of oil. Folks, that's all you need. What you have is enough. Just trust me. Thousands of people were there, all on the banks, all on the hillside. Andrew came to Jesus and said, look, you need to send the people away. They're hungry. Let them go into the cities and buy bread. Jesus said, is there any food among us? And Andrew said, yes, there's a lad with a lunch, but what is that among so many? I do not believe Jesus took his lunch away without asking him. The little boy comes to Jesus, and Jesus said, hi, son. How you doing?
Good. What you got in the sack?
Bread and fish my mama gave me.
Oh,
can we share it with you?
Who?
All of us.
Who?
All these thousands of people that are here. Can we share your lunch? I can see that little boy open his lunch and look in, see the bread and the fish, look out across those thousands of people and think, we ain't going to get much, are we, if we share my lunch? And Jesus, no, you don't understand. I can take your lunch, I can multiply it so that there'd be more fish than this crowd could eat, more bread than this crowd could eat.
You can do that!
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, you can have my lunch any day.
And Jesus took the lunch and multiplied it so that there was food left over.
Little boy, what do you have in the sack?
Just bread and fish. Son, that's all I need.
Shamgar, what do you have in your hand? Long stick, sharp point, hurts people when you poke them with it.
Shamgar, that's all you need.
Samson, what's that in your hand?
It's a jawbone, Lord. That's all you need, Samson.
David, what's that in your hand? It's a slingshot.
David, that's all you need.
Moses, what's that in your hand? It's the rod you gave me.
Moses, that's all you need. Little lady, what do you have in your house? All I have is a pot of oil. Little lady, that's all you need. In every story and replete throughout the Bible, we find that God uses what you have. But there's a key. And I want you to listen very carefully to the key, because I believe it's one of the most important principles a young person can grasp. Number one, before God could take you and use the little you have, you must belong to Him. For every one of these individuals, they belong to God. And if you're not a Christian, there can be no miracles. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there can be no miracles. The first miracle is the miracle of the new birth, to be saved. But then secondly, and equally as important, you must be willing.
extremely important principle. Imagine the little lady. The man of God says to her, look, I've got the solution. I've got the answer. All you need to do is go borrow jars, buckets, and vessels, bring them back to your house, take the pot of oil, and fill them up, and you can sell it and pay the debt. No! I will not do something so idiotic and so stupid. Only an idiot would do something like that. Well, look, if you'll only try it, you have no idea what will come. I am not going to try it. I am not that foolish. No! Let me ask you something. Had she not been willing to try, who would have missed out on the blessing? She would have. Say it. She would have. Hey, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to turn my people loose. Lord, I have told you 3 times, no. For the 4th time, no. I will not do it. But Moses, you don't have any idea how I could bless you. I could cause you to become the greatest leader Israel ever had. Forget it! I said no, and that's my final answer. Who would have missed out on the blessing? Moses would have. Say it. Moses would have. Hey, David, how about going and fight Goliath? By the way, use your slingshot. Do what? Slingshot? Have you seen how big that guy is and you want me to use a slingshot? No! I am not an idiot, and I'm not going to fight a man many times my size with a slingshot. But I could deliver him into your hand if you would only go into battle. No! Who would have missed out on the blessing had he not been willing? David would have. Say it. David would have. Samson. Yes, Lord? I want you to go into battle against these Philistines. Use the bone you have in your hand. Duh, a bone? You want me to fight with a bone? I'm not going to fight with a bone. Had Samson not gone into battle, it is Samson who would have missed out on God's blessing that day. Hey, Shamgar, go into battle against the Philistines. Oh, have a weapon. Take the stick. Stick! Tell me to use a stick! Look at their weapons! They got swords, cannons, bazookas, airplanes, and you want me to use a stick? Suppose Shamgar had not gone into battle, who would have missed out on the blessing? Shamgar would have. Hey, son, what you got in the sack? Bread and fish my mama gave me. Can we share your lunch?
No! This is my lunch! Mama gave it to me, I'm going to eat it myself! No!
And he could have been selfish and not given it to God. Who would have missed out on the blessing? He would have, and so would the thousands of people. It is according to your willingness. How many of you in this room are right now playing, practicing, taking lessons, some musical instrument? Would you hold your hand in the air? A large number of you, put your hands down. As you're playing that instrument, you have no idea what God could do with that instrument that you're playing. You say, well, I don't play very well. If you keep playing and keep playing and keep playing, you have no idea how God could bless that for the rest of your life. Just something that you have the ability to do, and even do a little bit, God could multiply it beyond your wildest imagination. whatever your talents are, whatever your abilities are, how insignificant and how small they might be, if you're willing to let God have it, there's no telling what God could do with it. But you say, but Brother Steve, I mean, I'm so young and I'm so small and I consider myself to be so insignificant. Well, I think a stick's pretty insignificant too. I think you're more important than a stick. God uses sticks. I think you're more important than a bone. I think you're more important than a sack lunch. I think you're more important than a slingshot. Multiplied for His honor and glory. But there's one key. You must be willing. You can say, God, you're not going to get anything I have. And you'll miss out on the blessing. Or you can say, God, whatever talent I have, it's yours. Whatever I have, I willingly give it to you. According to the principles of God's Word, God can then at that time be unleashed to take you, you who are willing, and perform the miraculous. God uses what you have, but it's according to your faith. Two things make it work. You must belong to Him, and you must be willing. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ask our counselors to move to the back. Listen carefully to my first question. Every head bowed and every eye closed.